Welcome to this guided meditation with Father Mark, your guide for a more intimate and transformative connection with Christ. Please pause, play, and adapt this aid to facilitate your own personal conversation with the Lord.
Well, we continue in the Christmas season here, celebrating Jesus' incarnation and his birth all the way up to February 2nd. Presentation in the temple. We enter into God's presence again in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we come into your presence with faith, believe you're here, that any time we turn our hearts to you in prayer, turn inward to our soul and to grace that's there in your presence, we find you, that you're there. We believe that, that you're only a thought away, you're only a prayer away. You're only a moment of silence and internal reflection to reconnect with that presence of Jesus in my heart. So I want to connect with that, Lord, in this time of prayer, silence, and reflection. And I believe that you're there. I hope in you, Lord. I trust in you. I trust in your presence and your goodness, your kindness that comes to me in these times of prayer. I'm confident that that's there. And when I touch you in your word and I share what's in my heart and allow your grace to pour over that reality, those wounds, those truths, transform me, heal me like a salve or a balm that loosens and strengthens it, makes more flexible yet stronger at the same time to respond and live fully alive in you. I hope in you, Lord. Hope that that's the fruit of this prayer. I love you. Love you for the graces, the gift, the strengthening this time of prayer gives me. And I'm grateful for this time of prayer, Lord, that you speak to me always. I'm grateful for that. Grateful for the way you challenge me, invite me to go deeper, grow. So it's wonderful. You're just good. You're just good, Lord. And so I'm going to turn my heart now and read this gospel of Mark 2, 1 to 12 and see what you speak to me. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached a word to them and came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men, but unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd. They opened the roof above him. After he had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there asking, "So why does this man speak that way? He's blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in their mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." As I contemplate Jesus, this scene, as I imagine it, there I can see the little town in Israel, Capernaum, near the water, a fishing town, a beautiful breeze, fresh breeze blowing off the lake, the Mount of Beatitudes there just to the right of us. This flat land, somewhat rocky, these houses built up, temple right there, synagogue. See all these people crowded around a house in a narrow alleyway of the town, such that people can't get by to the other houses. They kind of have to go around. You hear all the noise, you hear the din. Why is there so many people? Because Jesus is at home, maybe in Peter's home. Jesus, you're there. You didn't intend to be preaching. You're there talking with the family, talking with your friends. They were asking questions maybe about the kingdom. You're sharing more and more people gather. All those who want healing and attention are looking for a way to get in and get in front of you and to talk with you and to ask you. So that whole reaction of the world seeking you. And inside, you know, there are some scribes. So there's some scribes in the house already. They must have been in there from the very beginning. Maybe even some scribes who are friendly with you or with Peter, or they've been sent from Jerusalem, as we know, to kind of learn what this teacher is about, to report back. Whatever it is, they're already inside and they're observing this all happen. Just makes me, the reality in which you live, Jesus, day to day, was of examination, critical people, devoted people, people who are following you with total faith, others who are half and half and not sure, others that were curious. Very similar to today, Lord. You lived preaching and being who you were and getting so many different reactions constantly. And you lived in that mystery, humbled by, open to it. Not trying to change it, not trying to force yourself on any one person, just presenting. This is who I am. Inviting to faith and trust, just like you do today. I'm grateful for that. I love that that's the way you are, how you respect freedom, how you trust. I thank you for that. In a second moment also, I imagine the effort of these people to get this paralytic in front of you, the faith. They break through the roof. I'm sure it's like, Peter's like, what's going on there? Breaking my house, right? Like, he would have been probably wanting to stop or yell at him, like, hey, what do you think you're doing? And yet Jesus probably told him, hey, hold on, don't worry. We can fix the roof. We got plenty of all this. We'll chip in afterwards. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. Don't stop them. This is going to be an opportunity that's going to be irrefutable for these scribes to report back for people to see. Let them. And Jesus, rather than focusing on the problem they were presenting, the inopportunity of their approach, he recognizes, looks beyond that and sees faith, admires that, admires their longing. Reminds me of some people that are new to faith, that are desirous of growth, and they're a little inopportune, a little pushy, maybe conflictual in their style and their words and their actions. They forceful, they want an answer, they want to grow, they want to see. And for the more couth, that can be unsettling. But Jesus looks and sees what's in the heart. Fires me, that's the way I need to be. Not worried so much about social norms and etiquette and what's proper and obliging people that are looking for a conversion experience of faith, a healing, to fit into the rules of normality. But rather to respect the longings of their heart that sometimes are countercultural, are rebellious, are uncontrolled, because they're so possessed by this one desire, this one value. I need help. I need grace. I need to change. Help me to have the eyes to see that and not be put off by the lack of form or rule following. And finally, the biggest challenge here is then Jesus is really interested, zeroes in, at least the gospel does, on what's going on in the heart and mind of the scribe who's watching all this, who's hearing all the beautiful things that Jesus is teaching, and they're resonating in their hearts. His view of the old law, maybe some of his interpretation of Isaiah, other things that he's saying, is like, wow, there's something here. He's beautiful. I see his holiness. I see his sincerity. I see his conviction. I see the depth of understanding. Understanding in ways that no one else has understood. Like, they were probably seriously impressed with Jesus. And then he says something that scandalizes them, that like pushes them to a new level of trust and faith where he says, your sins are forgiven. It's like, whoa, no one can forgive sins but God. And they're like, how do I fit this together? I mean, he's beautiful and truthful and honest and all these things, and now he's stepping over a line and claiming divinity and a power and authority over supernatural things like sin and evil. And they're wondering, they're questioning. And Jesus doesn't fear that questioning. He walks into it. He steps, okay, I understand the conflict in your heart and your minds. So what's it going to be? You need to resolve this conflict by an act of faith and trust. Either you believe all the goodness you've seen and trust that if this good man, who's so wise and so powerful and so amazing, also presumes this ability, I need to trust him. Or say, that's too much, and I need to reinterpret all the good I know as bad or as crazy or as insincere. But Jesus doesn't take the pressure off them. What are you thinking? And so he used a little pilot. What's easier? It's easier for me to say I forgive or to heal. And probably in their mind, well, healing, doing a physical, miraculous thing is much harder. And so Jesus said, hey, if I have power to do what in your mind is much harder, I also have the power to do in your mind what's easier, the spiritual. When in fact, perhaps the harder thing is the spiritual. In fact, it's so hard that it's going to mean I get killed because I claim it. I'm going to be crucified because I'm claiming divine rights. That's really what's harder. It's easy to heal, or at least it's easier for me, of less consequences. So Jesus, your sincerity, your honesty, your invitation to belief, you're placing yourself as that rock of scandal on which people trip, that remains solid and doesn't give in. And you have to either, you know, build around it, step on it and grow higher, or keep running up against it and doing damage to yourself as you try to say it's not there or reinterpret it. So Jesus, I thank you for that sincerity and honesty. I pray that you give me the grace to respond to your work in my life with an attitude of humility and faith and acceptance and trust and belief. Brothers and sisters, continue in your meditation. Take the time you need to mull over some of these truths, to talk to Jesus about them, to let them challenge your own faith, your own thinking, your own heart. But then respond with an act of faith, with an act of trust and love, and grow from this engagement with Jesus in his word. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This has been a guided meditation with Father Mark Haidu of the Legionaries of Christ. If this has helped you, please consider sharing it with a friend, along with the other meditations, homilies, and talks found on the Legionaries of Christ podcast, located on all major platforms, or go to rcnytristate.org for links.